Today on the Travel Guys.
In the travel news, if you're heading to Washington State, as I hope to be on July 12th, be ready to wear a mask. And Princess announces two ships will be headquartered in California next year. We have details next.
At 3:20 in our Smarter Traveler segment, we ask you, is it okay that United and American Airlines have used your travel and web records to raise billions of dollars to keep flying? We'll get just one man's opinion on that subject.
Did you buy tickets for a concert or event canceled by COVID? How's the refund process going? Ticket refunds are on the minds of many.
In the second half of the program, Gwen Duncan, lover and seller of cruises, joins us for a travel roundtable. Talk about those big ships. What will it take to get you back on one? It starts at 3:35.
Plus, we have updates on our RV and racism and tourism features from the last 2 weeks. All that today on the show that's all about the journey. Thanks for joining us on The Travel Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again.
I've got two tickets to paradise.
Look to Alaska. I go north to Russia's own.
Welcome, everyone, to another edition of the Travel and Entertainment Guys here on KFBK, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Thanks for joining us. Don't forget now, you can follow along and look up addresses, web addresses of the special guests that we're going to have on our program from time to time, as well as a lot of other cool stuff to make you a smarter traveler at TravelGuysRadio.com. You know, that was like a trip down memory lane there, listening to the intro of the show, you know, taking a trip on routes.
Yeah.
North to Alaska. Yeah. Which one of those is your favorite destinations, Mark? I know the answer.
I'm a sort of a Route 66 guy. He says as he sits here in his Route 66 shirt, which makes up probably a fourth of my wardrobe for sure.
Looks great.
Yeah. Well, you put that together. Is this, what did we figure out? This is the ninth year of the show or 10th year? Or
no.
We took 1 year off in the middle, but you put that together a long time ago and it still sounds pretty good.
There you go. We made one redo along the way. By the way, fans, listeners, I hope you're a fan too. If you have any suggestions of any songs, any pieces of music that have to do with travel, we're always looking for new stuff, particularly maybe more modern things. Shoot us a note at TravelGuysRadio.com there on the right-hand side where you can make comments and ask questions. Would love to get your input, see if we can hunt some of those down and add them to the playlist. Mark, I know that when we spoke a week ago on Father's Day, you had sent out a request and looking for information to get your final bit for this a Puget Sound trip that you're working on putting together for Sports Leisure Vacations.
Yeah,
what's the latest?
We're still hoping that in a couple of weeks that will be our first trip to go since the COVID all ganged up on us. But we're waiting for Kitsap County to be moved to Phase 3, which all sounds like a bunch of Greek, unless you've been around this for a while, and then you understand the different phases in county by county, and because it's the same way here in California. So things are a little better in Washington, particularly on the west side of the state where we're going. And so we've been waiting a week. So we'll wait a few more days before we have to cancel. But we're hoping to go up to Washington State. But if it's not to be, then it's not to be. Funny thing, though, you know, this mask thing, they went governor declared, you know, everybody will wear a mask in Washington State this last week, too. And the number of people who started wearing masks went up fairly dramatically. I mean, there was an article in the Washington newspaper about how, my goodness, you know, you go out on the street and yesterday half the people were wearing a mask and today almost everyone is wearing a mask. So I'm not sure exactly what that, maybe was the governor, maybe it was a lot of other factors, but it could have something to do with, maybe leadership. I don't know. I mean, it just might have something to do with that. I'm just
Yeah, and, look, you know, I mean, leadership is a big deal. Sometimes the people you have to they set it by example. Anyway, with all of that being said, we wish you the best. We'll be anxious to find out how that goes. And I know you probably have a few listeners that were maybe thinking of joining you.
Thank you,
hang
sir.
In there, folks. You can go ahead and also stand by with your packing.
I should mention to Sports Leisure travelers who listen to this program, there are a few that there is an update on the sportsleisure.com website if you travel with that particular company. So we're trying to think of some fun things to do that don't necessarily put people at risk. And can you say Zoom bingo? So anyways, we've got some ideas. Go to the website to check it out. All right, we best get on to the travel news. What do you say?
All right, let's do it, Luis. That's the one. Time to bring you up to date on what's been going on this week in the travel news. Little capsule version. Here's Mark.
Yeah, the biggest story probably is the European Union, the EU, has said that when they open up to travelers from around the world on July the 1st, they are not likely to open up to travelers from the United States. Of course, this is kind of returning the favor since we told folks from the EU a number of months ago, if you remember, that they could not come here. And because their COVID outbreak was ahead of us, and we thought that, well, we don't want them bringing it here. Now the tables have turned just a tad, and the folks over on the other side of the pond are saying, we don't want you bringing it over here. And so the news stories that I have read, I've got two of them here in front of me, say that starting on the 23rd of June, which would have been like Tuesday of last week, that the U.S. has been lobbying very hard not to be put onto the no-go list, but to be on the safe list, which is going to include apparently Canada, Australia, and even China, if China decides to reciprocate and allow EU visitors into China. But it is not going to include the United States and is not going to include Russia, apparently. That list is going to be announced in the next few days. I mentioned earlier that Washington State had joined the group of states asking people to wear a mask. Any time that they are in outside areas, good for them. Princess Cruise Lines is going to dock two ships in Los Angeles or in California next year, in Los Angeles and San Francisco. The Majestic Princess will actually float between those two ports, and that will be the second Princess ship. The Discovery Princess will also be here next year. They are going to be doing cruises to Mexico, to Hawaii. And also, this is kind of a little bit different. Apparently, Princess started this year, Tom. Cruises from Los Angeles along the California coast, stopping in places like San Diego, Santa Barbara, Monterey.
You know, I've yet to cruise.
Yeah.
And if things eventually get back to kind of a normal playing field here where it's safe to do so, that would be my experimental cruise. Would be along the coast, you know, lots of opportunities to say this is
something went wrong for me. Something went wrong. You could swim to shore,
pretty much, or just you know exactly get off in San Diego and just drive home.
I have this this picture of Tom as up on the front of the ship, you know, with his Leonardo DiCaprio.
Right.
Well, and Gwen Duncan will be here the second half of the show, and Gwen is a huge fan and advocate of cruising, and Mark is a not so big advocate and fan of cruising. So we'll have a yin and a yang, and you can, by golly, by 4 o'clock, you should be able to decide for yourself just exactly what you're looking
for. Well, all right.
The government is talking about a $4,000 vacation credit. An Arizona senator wants to give Americans a $4,000 tax break for travel through 2021. As long as you spend the money towards a vacation within the United States, there would be some qualifiers. Has to be more than 50 miles away from home. Can't be someplace that you would be going for work or something. But it does say that if you went like to a conference someplace and then you extended your stay after the conference, that would apply. So anyway, there's a possibility that we may see some kind of a tax credit towards taking a vacation. So that wouldn't actually be worth $4,000, but it'd be worth some tax rebates on the $4,000 that you would have paid taxes on. Does that sound like it may be a plan?
I'm all for it. Sounds good to me.
We mentioned this a couple weeks ago. They have started taking your temperature at LAX. They are doing it with thermal cameras. It's not one of these things where you walk up and they put the thing up towards your forehead. Basically, you're walking through different points in the terminal, and it's recording you. Anyone who's identified with a temperature will be approached by a health official who will request a secondary screening using a handheld thermometer, the ones that I was just talking about. Departing passengers who test at or above the recommended temperature will be advised not to travel. When I read that, and it says advised not to travel, so it means
that. What does that mean?
Well, and that's, I've been just found this yesterday, so it's a weekend, and it's kind of hard to get a hold of people who might be able to qualify that. I want to know if that word advised there is the use of the writer, or if that's from a press release, or is, in other words, if you test at a temperature above what is considered safe, do they just say, well, you have a temperature, you probably shouldn't fly today, and if you say, well, I'm flying anyway, they say, well, have a nice day. So that would be kind of interesting.
We'll dig into that and find out what that's about.
Arriving flyers with an elevated temperature may be referred to CDC staff at the airport. So that, of course, would make logical sense. The Marriott CEO says wearing masks is a significant part of the hotel industry comeback. And he says this now, not only a mask on the part of his staff, because he says that will make the customers more confident, but he says there is information to back up the fact that when people walk into a business, now tell me if this is you, because this is definitely me. If you walk into a business, the staff is masked up, most of the customers are masked up, then I figure I'm probably okay. I walk into a business and the customers aren't masked up and the staff are not masked up, then I'm, have a nice day, I'll see you all when this is over.
I'm with you.
Yeah, so.
Absolutely, yeah, that's and so what you're saying is Marriott, they're masking up all of their all of their employees.
They are, and they're asking their guests to wear a mask. They're asking their guests to wear a mask, but then they're kind of taking it a step further and saying if guests suggest that they'd prefer not to wear one, Marriott's going to suggest to them that they really would prefer that the guests wear a mask anytime that they're outside of their room. As we mentioned last week, the airlines decided on this just to back off and not be so confrontational. And if you refuse to put on a mask, why, then they were just going to, you know, maybe make a little note and see to it that maybe you didn't fly with them again until after this was all over. So just if you're one of those folks who is out there who's making a point of this, if it's become part of the cultural civil war for you, why, then just know that there could be some repercussions that are not, you know, right, visibly obvious. Or the other thing is we could all just wear one and take care of each other, and then this will be over sooner, and then none of us will have to wear a mask, because I'm not looking for
Amen.
One myself. Amen. That's your travel news. That sounded like a mask lecture, probably, anybody who's listening to the program, so I promise to get away from that, but that's your travel news for today.
Okay, you know, it's kind of like when we were kids, and we would have a particular habit that was not necessarily really good. How many times did mom and dad have to remind us over and over until we finally got it right? So sometimes it kind of feels like that. And if you are a mask wearer, well, kudos to you, my friends. I'll tell you what, if you're in the privacy of your automobile listening to the show, Mark and I are giving you the okay to not wear the mask, okay? All right, with coming up next, a little bit of a one man's opinion. We do that from time to time. We'll have that with Mark coming up next here on The Travel Guys.
It's time for Just One Man's Opinion. Here's Mark Hoffman.
American consumers in the airline industry have an interesting relationship. I can think of no other business model where the business treats the customer so poorly, and then once a generation or so comes hat in hand, needing to borrow or be given billions of dollars just to stay in business. So what is the taxpayer's thank you for such generosity? Continued poor treatment. With a written warning, even worse treatment is coming soon to an aluminum tube near you. Let's look at some facts. After 9/11, the airlines were in trouble. When planes flew into buildings, people really didn't want to get on one for a while. The TSA, as we know it, was hurriedly being formed to replace private security companies, so the taxpayers came through. Since then, the seats have gotten closer together, frequent flyer awards are more expensive and often harder to procure, and we pay for assigned seats. The list could be much longer, but after all, this is a three-minute commentary. Fast forward to 2020. COVID hits. Airlines lose 95% of their business overnight. Not surprisingly, the airlines show up with their hands out, needing a lot of money. Once again, the American taxpayers come to the rescue, big time. So do the airlines suddenly get thankful and appreciative? Let's check some facts. In the last 2 weeks, both American and United have secured huge loans using their frequent flyer programs as collateral. What makes those programs so incredibly valuable, you ask? It's your personal information. Don't you remember giving them permission to sell your web page visits, ticket purchases, and any sort of click or action that you might have taken while doing business with them? Well, you sort of did. I mean, it's right there in the 86-page terms and conditions no one's but the most enthusiastic lawyer would actually read, right under Rule 30. The airlines know you don't read this stuff. So they mortgaged your information and made a lot of money. In their loan pitch, American Airlines disclosed the following. Quote, "We have recently instituted," this means we've already screwed our customers in this area, "and intend to institute in the future," which means grab your ankles, "changes to our business model designed to increase revenues. These measures include charging separately for services that had previously been included within the price of a ticket, increasing other pre-existing fees, reconfiguration of our aircraft cabins," end quote. So why they are still spending the latest bailout loot, they are already, in writing, telling the banks how they're going to make our travel experience even more miserable than it already is. Oh, and American United announced they are no longer blocking the middle seats on heavily booked flights. I mean, what's a little virus among friends? I feel for the people employed by these shady characters. Watch many of them lose their jobs end of September, which is as soon as the airlines can cut staff according to the terms of the recent bailout. I don't have a solution. I'm just here to share the facts. And keep in mind, this is just one man's opinion.
Well, there you go. Mark Hoffman with his Just One Man's Opinion. And I have a feeling that there are probably a few people listening that kind of go along with all that.
Could be two man's opinions. You never can tell. Hey, listen here, Tom, to make folks a smarter traveler, a lot of people, especially with the summer tourist season coming up, a lot of people bought tickets to concerts and, you know, season tickets to things like the Music Circus or, you know, the Harris Center in Folsom has a wonderful variety of events and stuff up there. And people can buy tickets in advance. And I'm sure that a lot of people were holding tickets for events that were canceled due to COVID. Now, in some cases, people came back and said, hey, here's your refund and no issue. We already know that the airlines did everything they could to get people not to take money, but to take fake money. Some other vendors were the same way, particularly in the travel industry. And I've probably said this before on this show, but any time that somebody is trying to get you to take a voucher instead of your money, that is more reason to want your money, because that's usually a sign that that particular vendor is probably operating on wishes and fishes, and they've already spent your money long ago, and so you should ask for it back because they may not make it. Now, so you've got all these folks have theater and concert tickets and things of this sort. In some cases, you can get them back. If you're having a problem getting it back, then I strongly suggest that you go to the venue where they write the venue where the event was to take place. Also, if you purchase the tickets in one of these five states with a seller of travel law and you're traveling to the event, then that might be a way to relief for you. Here's where a lot of folks got into trouble. You know, Tom, you go and you buy a ticket to a concert and you buy it on StubHub, or maybe you buy it from some kind of a third party. You buy it from a second ticket seller, you know, the tickets being resold, and now you're buying tickets. I'm sure you've bought tickets that way. I have. You've gone to concerts and stuff where you've, yeah.
Yep,
it gets a little dicier when you're trying to get a refund for tickets that you've bought from somebody else. If you bought them through the actual reseller, in other words, if I put my tickets on StubHub and you bought them, StubHub, and the event isn't held, StubHub is going to refund you, and then they're going to debit me. So that's fairly easily. But if you go online and you're buying them just from an individual person, and you're not going through a secondary ticket selling service, then there's a real chance that you're not, you know, that person is gone. You own the tickets usually at a premium. So think about that for the foreseeable future. If you're thinking about buying tickets not directly from the venue for any type of an event, that if something happens with the COVID situation and that event isn't held, it may be extremely difficult to get your refund if it wasn't bought directly from the venue. And be really careful, because when you go online, there are lots and lots of third-party ticket sellers that do not identify themselves as such. It will just say, you know, events for the Golden One Center. And you'll say, oh, well, that's the people that sell tickets for the Golden One Center. But really, it was somebody who just happens to handle tickets for the Golden One, sometimes on a secondary basis. So be extra careful if you're buying tickets for something and you're not buying it directly from the venue. Know that at this point in time, with a lot of things being canceled, that it's entirely possible that you could end up eating those tickets. Does that kind of sort of make sense, Tom?
Yeah, it does. And that's a big one, because people buy tickets way out. You know, our casino up the road there, or Thunder Valley, has a lot of concert events, and they've been notifying people regularly here, because now all of a sudden the ones out in the future are being canceled, and it has information as to how they can get them back. But here again, the majority of the people either bought them through Ticketmaster or directly from the casino. So that's going on. There's a lot of moving parts. And one of the things I've discovered is that even though it may be in black and white and in the fine print of that 80-page document, as we talked about, that these tickets are non-refundable. You bought season tickets, let's say, for the San Francisco Giants or for the Sacramento Kings. And because of what's going on and how things are going to change dramatically moving forward as to what your experience is going to be like when you go to a baseball game or a basketball game, it's not going to be the same. You may have to go to the game and wear a mask or not be able to take advantage of vendors and so forth. And so you say, you know what, that's a big investment, and I'm not going to get my value. And I think I would like to get out of that. And I would like to give it up. I'm going to give up my season ticket.
Well, and just to give people, you have to have some patience now, too, because many of these places are working on limited staffs, and they're trying to make refunds to people with less than the number of people that they usually have working in the building. To give you an example, here we are towards the end of June, and the Giants have just contacted me regarding spring training and refunds for games the first couple months of the year. Now, they did send me a note earlier that said, hey, be patient. Here's a number you can call if you need to. We'll get to you when we can, but it may be a ways down the road. So don't be concerned. If you've bought tickets someplace, you can't necessarily get a hold of the folks. In many cases, they're just trying to get back to you. Okay, a couple things to make you a smarter traveler real quickly. Sacramento Honolulu nonstop comes back on Hawaiian Airlines on July the 15th. We'll talk some more about going to Hawaii if we get time later on in the show. American Airlines has confirmed it's going to start selling middle seats July the 1st, along with United Airlines. So you might be looking at Delta, Alaska, JetBlue, and Southwest. Those are the airlines that have said they are not going to sell middle seats until the end of September. Again, United and American are the two that are selling the middle seat. They say they will tell you, but with so few flights, it might limit your options. Delta, Alaska, JetBlue, and Southwest are only selling their planes 2/3 full. Okay, coming up after the break,
yes.
We've got Gwen Duncan here.
Yep, we're going to talk about, a little round table. We're going to talk about cruises. When are we next on the Travel Guys?
I see a ray of hope on that horizon line.
I really, really like this piece from Chicago, from one of the Chicago band members, Mr. Ham, and we had him on last week about that.
Isn't that a good piece of music? I mean, really, it is.
Everything is gonna work out fine.
Yep.
I honestly believe that, and that's my story, and I'm sticking.
You're sticking to it. Okay. Well, I got some updates here, some little tiny updates. We were talking there before the break about. Yes.
Well, we got to make sure and let everybody know what they're listening to, and then you go. Just in case you didn't know, we are the Travel and Entertainment Guys, Mark Hoffman, Tom Romano, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Take it away, Mark.
Whew, boy, I'm glad we got that in there. We could have lost our license.
No, can't leave anything to chance here.
No. Talking about going to Hawaii, Hawaii has backpacked on Alaska's idea of you have to be tested before you arrive and be able to come with a negative test, or get tested when you get there, and quarantine until the results come back. It's complicated as all get out, but if you're going to Hawaii or Alaska, I suppose we could try to go into it. We've talked about it quite a bit on this program before, but let us just say that if you're headed to one of those two places, then you need to look further into what the requirements are before you go and buy a ticket, make an airline reservation, all of that kind of stuff. Okay. Let's see here. What else do we have? We did a story a couple weeks ago, Tom, talking about racism in travel. And Arnie Wiseman, who is the editor-in-chief of Travel Weekly, which is one of the industry magazines, shared a story from when he was a kid, because we were talking about, you know, what were some examples of racism in tourism. And he said his family was on a cross-country on a trip to Yellowstone National Park in the station wagon. Car broke down. They were in Carlin, Nevada. So they found a hotel. And his article picks up, and it says, "As I lay in bed, my father was telling my mother that, as he had walked into the hotel's office, a black couple was walking out. While he was registering, the woman behind the desk said, quote, 'If those people ask you any questions, tell them that you had a reservation.' The implication was clear. The motel had told the black couple that they were full rather than rent them a room. My father was troubled and wished there had been another place to stay. And so I learned that discrimination and racism never take a vacation, and that travel, which is why I was experienced in an extended fashion for the first time in my life, would likely have been very different experience if my family and I were African-American." So I thought that was kind of interesting. And for the times here, folks asked at TravelGuysRadio.com if I would list the five states again that have seller of travel laws. California is one. Florida, Hawaii, Iowa, and Washington are the other ones. So if you live in California, Florida, Hawaii, Iowa, or Washington, or you buy travel from someone who is headquartered in one of those places, then you are protected on different levels that varies state by state. Travelers United gave us their survey. If you're planning a summer vacation this year, what mode of travel will you employ? This is pretty interesting. 35% said it will be a driving vacation. 26% said they will fly. So 35 drive, 26 fly, 3% train, 2% cruise, 1% bus. 33% say they're either staying home or taking a, quote, staycation. So that's almost 7 out of 10 that say they are either staying close to home or taking a driving vacation. I wouldn't go buy stock in the airlines anytime soon. And finally, Sue H., thank you for your response last week. She loved the camping show, says that they have rented twice from Outdoorsy, who was a guest on our program last week. They have even used the campground in the in-town RV park that your daughter was talking about, Tom, and she thanked us for doing a program on a title like that. She said it was a lot of good information, and I picked up a lot of good stuff. So there you go. That catches up on all of the stuff. And now sitting across from me here is Gwen Duncan. Hi, Gwen.
Hello.
Oh, wait a minute. Try talking into that, Gwen.
Hello, can you hear me, Tom?
Are we getting Gwen?
Yeah. You'd find her microphone volume knob there and maybe turn it up or on.
Can you hear me now?
There you go, Gwen.
Okay.
Perfect. Way to go. Boy, Mark the engineer, there you go.
Modern technology. Well, for our listeners, Tom is at his home. I'm at the Sports Leisure Vacations office. Gwen is molesting the microphone
right now. I can hear it.
Yeah, she's across from me, and she's doing that. And then Luis, of course, is at the actual radio station, which is our only link to reality. Okay, Gwen is here, and we're going to talk, Tom and Gwen, about cruises. Gwen, you are the resident expert when it comes to cruises, so that's why we have invited you in to talk a little bit about this. No cruise ships are in the water now.
That's right.
Took a while to get them all home.
That's right.
Nobody wanted the last couple. They were wandering around the planet for weeks and months on end. And so people got on ships. They couldn't get off. They didn't go where they were supposed to. And yet... a whole bunch of people can't wait for the opportunity to do this again, which I think is crazy, but you probably understand a lot better than me.
That's right. And they've had surveys showing this time last year, we're 8% up in cruise bookings.
Yeah, well, that's all the people who didn't get to go this year.
That's
probably.
Right. A lot of them are people who postponed.
But it's still positive because it means that people didn't. You know, a lot of things happened that. You know, as I mentioned earlier in the program, full disclosure, I'm not a huge fan of big ocean-going cruise ships. If I get on a ship and anything goes wrong, I want to be able to swim to shore.
Oh, not going to happen on a
So I'm thinking, you know, a riverboat is a lot.
Oh, they're great.
Yeah. I mean. Yeah. Well, and in Europe, they have that problem with the water being too high or the water being too low. Not as many – there are going to be more riverboats in the United States. They're building more.
Oh, I'm sure.
So we're going to see more riverboats here. All right, so let's get into kind of the nuts and bolts here. Here is a great article that you forwarded to me. It says, cruise or no cruise, masks and other potential deal breakers. And they list some questions here asking people, are these things that you are willing to give a little bit on, compromise a little bit on, because this is probably some of the realities. The first one here is, and we spent some time talking about this today, and I said I was going to leave it alone, and here it is again. Am I willing to wear a mask? It's possible that some cruise ships will ask you when they go back in the water to wear a mask from the time you get on board till the time you get off.
There are some serious discussions about that. They're being very adamant that they've not made a decision yet. But chances are, if any of them are going to go on to the waters before the end of this year, I would guarantee they're going to have to wear a mask.
Okay.
I'm sure they're going to have to wear a mask.
Okay. And give me – you cruise a lot, so
– Would I want to wear one?
Yeah.
No. No,
would that
truly
exclude you altogether from wanting to cruise at all, Gwen? I mean, are you just saying, well you know, I'm not a mask kind of person, so I will skip it?
I think it's something that's going to be temporary, and I'm willing to go when that is not one of the requirements.
Okay.
For me, I have a really hard time breathing with them on, and to think I'm going on a vacation and I'm going to have to wear something I can't breathe.
But, yeah, not much of a vacation, is it?
With that. No. Yeah. But I can understand the whole theory about it and everything, and I'm willing not to go so that I don't have to compromise somebody who's on the ship who's adamant that I should wear them.
Good for you.
Okay.
That's my own personal opinion.
Okay. But
it may be through
2021. Well, and that's why I asked. Well, yeah, but that's exactly right. It may go on for a while. Okay.
That's right.
This is another one, and this may seem like kind of a funny question, but how important is the buffet to you?
Okay.
In other words, because there are some people who the idea of going on a cruise ship and having all of this, all these choices, not that they're going to eat all the food, but all these choices. And so now public buffets, unless they're served by the crew, not so much.
Yeah, they're kind of iffy. There's a lot of discussion about that.
You told me your husband loves the buffet.
He loves buffets, and he likes to pile it on. And for me, I hate buffets. But I also hate asking for more food or, I just don't like having to go through and have somebody serve me over the buffet line. I just don't like it. I like to sit down. I know that sounds awful, but I don't do it that much. Sit down at a restaurant, have them come. I don't like being served in styrofoam. I mean, I just that's just me.
Well, you're a classy lady. Why.
Right. But my husband loves the buffet, and so do many other people. Mm-hmm. And that's going to be a hang-up because if it's not the buffet, they're very limited on ones that aren't called specialty dining, and you have to pay to sit down, you know. And so I see that they're going to have to open up more sit-down dining rather than the things and reducing or eliminating some of those extra charges.
And that's
charges.
What I was just going to ask you is, you answered my question before I could answer it. Do you see them taking some of the specialty restaurants and reducing the additional charge? Or here's a thing, using that as an incentive to get somebody on board, which we've seen before. Here's one of the nights on your cruise. Enjoy dinner in one of these restaurants at no upcharge.
That's right. That's right. I expect that kind of thing. However, I also expect, because of finances, I'm expecting the ships to include it in their pricing and then just not – I mean, a dynamic pricing kind of a thing, saying it's free but you're paying for
right.
it. You know, but I see them offering that. Offering that alternative dining, because some people, that's what they want.
Well, then you would never have to go into a, quote, public dining room. Tom?
Right, but they're limited.
Gwen, I have to ask now, you know, I mean, businesses are trying to open up at 25-50% capacity, amusement parks. A lot of people are trying to make a go of it by reducing the population. Is this something that the cruise lines is seriously considering? Fewer people on the boat, social distancing, the things that we're talking about in regards to masks and so forth.
They've all been writing about wanting to cover the social distancing.
Do you think they will really pull the trigger on that? And then can it be profitable, or are they just going to just wait it out until it's over?
Because let me throw in here, because cruise ships tend to operate at very close to capacity.
That's
most
right.
Most of the time.
To be profitable.
Some ships sail at more than 100% capacity, and you'd say, well, how can they do that? And that's because some cabins are made for two people, and there might be a third or a fourth person sharing the cabin.
Yeah.
So some cruises actually can sail at 100% capacity plus, but it's very rare for a ship to sail at less than, 85, 90?
Actually, it's very rare that they'll do it at the maximum. They'll only allow so many of their quads to be filled.
Okay.
Okay, and it depends on the ages and everything. It's more profitable to have adults rather than them.
So do you see the cruise ships, if CLIA comes out and says that you can only fill the ships half full, I can't imagine how
I don't know. You look at even at the restaurants here, using it as an example, when they're told to work at a capacity of 25%, they still pay for their rents, they still pay for their space, they still have to pay for the food and the delivery and stuff. So they can't make it. They can't make it. It's only 25%. Maybe if it was 50%, they'd have a better chance. If it's a good producing restaurant, they're going to lose money if they can't sell out. And they work on turns, how many tables they can turn. So I see on cruise ships that's going to be an issue if they can't go at the most that they can put onto a ship. Personally.
Well, okay. You want to keep Gwen on for a few more minutes and continues this?
Yeah, no. Okay, we're going to continue go on here.
I thought so. We have a lot to talk about. We're talking cruises. Will they? Won't they? What's it going to be like? We're with our cruise expert, Gwen Duncan from Cordially Yours Travel. You're listening to The Travel Guys. More to come in about 2.5 minutes.
Come away with me in the night.
Don't I wish, huh? Come away with me. Let's go someplace. Here, I think I'll go downstairs out of my studio into my family room. Long journey when the show's over. Tom Romano and Mark Hoffman with you. We are the Travel and Entertainment Guys, as always, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. And follow along at TravelGuysRadio.com. Again, our special guest last part of the program, Gwen Duncan, our travel expert, cruise expert with us, talking about what's it going to be like. Would you cruise if you had to wear a mask, you couldn't have the buffet? Let's see what else.
So far, Gwen's not going. But
and I love cruising.
And she loves cruising, so I think that's kind of telling. Listen, here's a few more from our cruise or no cruise potential deal breakers. So the way that things are going to be different, and will this matter to people when they're booking this type of a vacation? Would you be willing to get vaccinated if the cruise line said, or tested? If the cruise line said, like Alaska and Hawaii are doing now, you can't come on the ship unless you were tested within the last 5 days, you have the results of the test, et cetera, or if there was a vaccination, and it's widely available, you can't come on until you get vaccinated. Now, how would you feel about that?
A lot of them are already requiring that. We know they're going to be asking for a requirement for being tested.
Okay.
We already know that. Would I be tested?
So we think that's sort of a given.
I think it's a given. The problem with the testing is, let's say you bought your airline tickets, you bought your cruise tickets, you get tested, and they say, we're not really sure. We think you're positive.
Yeah.
You've lost, unless you have, of course, travel insurance or something, which they're working on.
Well,
and some of them
some of them don't include the pandemic,
But a vaccine. Now, my husband and I get flu vaccines every year. I'm not one of those non-vacciners, but there are an awful lot of people who are. And I think that's going to be a non-starter for some people. They either love you know, they love cruising or they're okay with doing the vaccine. And if, you know, they've got to make a decision. And that may be a requirement, but I see more of it being a testing. And like in Hawaii, you mm-hmm. already know that. So yep. Within 72 hours,
yep.
you have to have been tested.
Ditto for Alaska.
And what's going to happen, and they've talked about this, what if you've got to have your temperature, then you have your temperature before you board. And then every time that you get off at a port of call, the protocols could require mm-hmm. that you have a test before you can come on to the shore. So you may be left on the ship if you have an elevated temperature for whatever reason.
Well, in that case, don't they just put a little rowboat behind the ship and you kind of ride in the rowboat?
No, they just keep you on the ship. But that's going to be an income. You know, it's going to be kind of bad. But the vaccine, that's going to be a problem if they make that a requirement.
Tom, would you get a vaccination or get tested to get on a cruise ship?
Yeah, you know, if I was serious about going, yeah, I'd have no problem with that at all. Gwen, with that being said, in regards to restrictions, you know, there's going to be a situation where, you know, you're going to want to do a shore excursion. And there's a possibility that the shore excursion is either going to be asking for special conditions or it's not going to be available. What's the value in a cruise if you have shore excursions and you can't go to them? So do you feel that the cruises are just not going to happen unless the excursions are available for people to go on?
How much not in the itinerary are people willing to tolerate? This is something that tour operators have talked about, too.
Yes. As far as shore excursions, a good number of the people that I sell to who are avid cruisers, they don't do the cruise line's shore excursions. They do independent ones, or they book online with other third parties.
Ah, the old independent excursion
where you go off.
And it doesn't get you back to the ship in time because it's an independent excursion.
Well, some of those they do guarantee, and they'll let you cancel and stuff like that. But it is cheaper and it's smaller.
Oh, so some of the,
instead of
so
80
some
people.
Of the that, let me just let this is important update here. Important information hidden in that little answer. That so some of the onshore operators, vendors who are not endorsed by the cruise ship have realized that people are being told, you know, don't go with us because we can't get you back. And so what they're saying is, if you go with us, we'll guarantee that we get you back or something.
Yes,
you
they
can
keep
stay
it
at grandma's
constant,
house.
Constant, depending on who they are. Mm-hmm. I've got some of those on my website, and you can find them where people can make them, and they can look and see. Those are smaller groups, you know, maybe 20, 30 people, maybe less, mm-hmm. instead of 80 or 90 people. And you're not left out of the salmon thing in Alaska or whatever because they have limited numbers.
Okay.
You can go to a third or fourth person. But you're right. There are some shore excursions that aren't going to take unless you have a temperature and all that. You know, all the same kind of restrictions.
I want to ask you one more question here because I want to give you – we got about 2 or 3 minutes, and
okay.
I want to give you a moment at the end here in case you have something we haven't covered. This says and rather than a question to you, this is more of a statement. Are you willing to be flexible with your itinerary? A lot of itineraries got out there and found out that, you know, yeah, went out the window, whether to normal things like weather or something that had happened at a destination. But now we were including people on the ship who were sick and somebody didn't want you or they didn't know if anybody was sick and they still didn't want you. So how does that impact? How important is it to people? We were talking beforehand. What if they skip a stop or something like that?
Yeah, we talked about that. In fact, I had clients who were supposed to get off in Tahiti, and they end up adding almost 14 days to their cruise, had to be dropped off in San Diego, mm-hmm. and they couldn't stop anywhere.
Right.
So they had 14 days at sea. But whenever you have it's written into your cruise contract. You can have anything happen to your itinerary. It can be the captain can cancel it. Can cancel one. They can change the order of the port of call.
So don't get on a cruise with your entire life hanging on one particular
destination.
That
happens now. You know, I mean, before COVID.
Okay.
It happened before COVID. People would have planned weddings. Hello.
Okay.
You know, and you can't.
Quickly here, 30 seconds. Anything we haven't talked about that you'd like to share that might be a yes or a no on going on a cruise ship at this point?
I really wasn't prepared for that question, but I can tell you this. Right now, there's not going to be basically any cruising. They say till September. I'm going to tell you it's not going to happen till January.
Okay.
2021. And the ratings are, sales are up. Weird. But the sales are up for next year. But a lot of them are people who, instead of canceling, they transferred their bookings.
Gwen, thank you so much for coming in today. Don't mean to be short with you here,
no.
But we're up against the clock. Next week, we're going to feature Tuolumne County. We're going to start talking about destinations in and around the Sacramento area over the coming weeks because we know folks are looking for places close to home. So we'll dance like nobody's watching, and we'll see you next Sunday at 3 o'clock.
Stay well, my friends. See you next time.